Hello and welcome to the Beyond Earth show. This is your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you all of you for joining me on this transmission. It is November 1st, 2025, and what a transformative year this has been, and many of you that are walking the path of spiritual alignment and seeking your ascension processes and evolution and transcending through the shadows that we all go through, we all bear our cross. It has been one of the most, I would say, an expedited time of the soul's recognition and also in the self-actualization of the soul, mind, body, spirit. And as many of you may agree or disagree, but most may agree that this earthly realm is like a school. This third dimensional realm is a school in which we look at all the places that we want to improve upon, the places that we'd like to revisit and heal many of the wounds, and also from past lives as well. But in this case, though, in the immediacy of in that alignment, walking that path and seeking to renew ourselves each day and one day at a time, one moment at a time. And when you look back upon where you started and if you fell off or if you fell off many times, fell off the path and got distracted by life, which is so normal. It is so completely expected. Yet persevering with this resilience and the discipline of the mind and the devotional aspect to the self and to your higher purpose and to what you choose to develop for yourself, how you choose to evolve, what you'd like to evolve into, what you'd like to posit into your framework, into your immediate reality, transcending your past. And many of you perhaps go into rumination mode, reflection mode, nostalgia. And this time of year especially can create that spirit, if you will, that element in the ethers where we are in the transition of the seasons. And much as we have seasons on planet Earth, our soul, our life, our emotion, and our memories and our journeys also have seasons. And so we're transcending the fall and entering into the winter. And if you look at the whole year prior, what is it that you would have liked to have done more of, less of, improved upon? And perhaps something you've wanted to choose to implement into your life in healthy habits and a healthy introduction to that alignment of your illuminated path. And so today, globally, and whether you're religious or not religious, but many cultures celebrate this, myself included, it is All Saints Day today. And tomorrow is All Souls Day, known as Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. And so this is a special time to reflect upon how we can learn from those that have predeceased us. This is a very sacred time and a vulnerable time, but also empowering for the living. What would we learn from the saints? And what would we learn from those who have departed us, those that have predeceased us, and we'll all reunite with them at some point in the future. And so how do we want to live our lives? What do we want to change? What do we want to modify? When we enter 1 year from today, what would we like to look back upon and reflect, saying, wow, I'm so grateful that I took care of myself. Right? No one ever regrets eating healthy and working out and doing the right thing, right? But I'm going deeper than just in the physical, because our physical shell is the vessel, yes. And it is paramount to help our spirit, our mind, our heart in the emotional state of this vessel that carries us through. But besides that, which, like I said, is paramount, we must take care of this physical vessel that we are blessed with. But in the sense of how do we complement that? And where do we draw inspiration from? How do we convey to ourself and also convey to others? How do we seek that internal inspiration, whether it be from God, whether it be from your personal beliefs, a personal belief in the creator of the divine cosmic universe of Buddha, if it Jesus Christ, our Blessed Mother Mary, the saints, the archangels, the seraphim realm, the hierarchy of all angels, the principalities, the virtues, or if it's in the language that speaks to you that you're here and you're present in this life, and that you yourself are leading and directing and guiding yourself. But regardless of your beliefs or non-beliefs, we all have a perpetual journey. We all seek our own evolution. And how do we prosper in that merit? And prosperity, one can assume ordinarily, organically, that prosperity is automatically in conjunction, synonymous with financial gain, abundance, synonymously again with the riches of the tangible world as far as finances and money. But when I speak of the prosperity, I'm speaking of the prosperity of the soul, of the heart, of the mind, and in the prosperity of what you're positing into your own life pattern and frequency, how you affect yourself, how you affect others. And at the end of the day, what do you learn from that? What do you draw from that? And so this is a interesting time, like I was mentioning in the beginning, that the veil right now is thinner at this time between the borders of the third dimensional realm and the heavenly realm, the cosmic realm, the realm of the afterlife, the realm of divinity, the higher ascension of life in the cosmos, in the galactic kingdom, God's kingdom. And so this is a time to really embrace. I would say every day is a time to embrace. Every day is the right time, right? There's no essentially perfect time. Yet when there are certain specific times collectively in the conscious reality of so many across the world, especially during times as this, where globally saints are celebrated and also our beloved departed are also celebrated and honored. And so when there's this collective force field of emotions, prayers, and celebrating, honoring, remembering, and there's going to be more of an amplification of that divinity. And so, yes, when one person prays, there's power in that. When two are under one God as witness, God hears the prayer, right? Or when your intention is so devotional, the mystical application to affirm that desire that you set intentionally into the world, you start to see everything lining up in a way that is co-created by setting that intention with that desire and having ultimate faith in that intention. And thereby it manifests the way that you wish, even down to the details, right? But in the sense of having the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. In that sense of manifestation, as well as in any other application of manifestation for the good, for the betterment of yourself or for others. There's a collectiveness when we are all in a notion of remembrance. And thereby, again, that veil is thinner than usual. And when the border of this realm to the next realm is thinner, and those of you that already have a predisposition to gifts and psychic gifts, mediumship gifts, and mystical gifts, you'll even feel it more so during this time. Things are more exacerbated. And so there's a complementary essence that's involved in this divine mystery of our life. And in that divine mystery of God's mysteries of our universal consciousness and our universal remembrances, we go into the place of how do we become inspired? In what way would we seek additional inspiration? And so, especially during this time, we'll speak of the All Saints Day in particular first, since that is today. And so All Saints Day originated in 609 AD. And, you know, there's so much historically that we don't know or that we're told one or another, and down the lines, like the telephone game, what do we truly know? But according to what we're told, Pope Bonifacio IV had consecrated the Pantheon in Rome as a church in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary and all Christian martyrs. And at that time, that particular celebration was called All Martyrs' Day. And throughout the ages, because that was originally May 13th, according to record in 609, and it's moved up now to November 1st, how through the ages. And that falls in line with Halloween, which is also part of this whole celebration. And when we blend Mesoamerica and European and our culture beliefs, they all coincide because there's a collective beauty in this tapestry that, regardless of where you are in the world, there is something symbolic here. And I would say a symbiotic approach to celebrating those venerable ones, celebrating our beloved and our animals included, of course. And so when we speak about All Saints Day and we look at it's in Catholicism, it's the Holy Day of Obligation, and you don't have to be Catholic. I'm Catholic, but you don't have to be Catholic in order to celebrate. But just to explain a bit about it is that it's a feast of solemnity and celebrating and honoring the saints in heaven. And we also have to be very technical about this because there were many saints that were not canonized, many saints that will never know their name, and many saints that till this day will never know their name here on earth. Yet this is just reflection of celebrating the holy in the men and women that are known and unknown. So both those that are known and unknown, and celebrating their lives and finding the inspiration to become more saintly. And you can be a saint in many ways. You don't have to be perfect. No one here on earth is perfect. But the goal to do a good deed, to help those that need help, to be of service, to do God's work, to go about your Father's business, or to just be a kind humanitarian, just to be a kind person in any way. When you find the opportunity to do the right thing, doing the right thing in that moment, it could be so small, it could be so minute, it could be on a microcosm or on a macrocosm scale. And at the end of the day, we judge ourselves, right? We're only human, where we are our hardest critics. We judge ourselves, and we often are up for our own interpretation, our perception. And if you look at the wheels of karma, the wheels of life, samsara, we look at the judgment of God, if we look at the scales of life, the hall of records, we look at all of our deeds, good, not so good, mediocre, and the heinous. However, it unfolds for each individual. What is one element that we can do? And also in seeking atonement and self-forgiveness, right? But to strive to be a better person each day, even in one faction. So if you look upon today, especially All Saints' Day, we look in inward, we look in the internal, we look in our shadow self, we look upon, and we can actually, if you wish, to study upon a favorite saint, or if you have never studied a saint before, perhaps look into something like your favorite topic, like if you love cats, Saint Gertrude. If you love animals, let's just say Saint Francis of Assisi. if you're a real estate agent, I'm just kind of going across the board here, Saint Joseph. Or if you're a traveling person, if you're a truck driver, if you drive a lot, Saint Christopher. If you're in immediacy of need of protection from demonic forces, there's so many that you can combine, actually, Saint Francis of Assisi, and also Saint Benedict. There's so many. But if you're looking for lost things or someone who's missing or an animal missing, Saint Anthony. So all these saints that I just mentioned, I'm just attributing very brief attributes. Majority of these saints comprise of so much more, and there's so many. But just to give an idea of what these saints represent. And so, if you have an interest, or if your career space, or if you're a doctor, or you deal with mental health, Saint Ephesius for mental health, and you can combine them. But if you're in the place of just seeking protection, Saint Michael, who is actually Archangel Michael. And if you need communication, if you need help with healing, Saint Raphael, Archangel Raphael, and communication and the music of the sphere, Saint Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel. There's so many. But in this moment, in this instance, for those that have never looked into a saint, I'm just giving a mini cliff note for you to look for yourself, see if you're called, and just study a saint today or this week or any time if you feel called to do so. And look upon the mysticism of that saint's life. And like I said earlier, there's many saints that we know nothing of their name. We may hear allegories and historical accounts, but there are so many saints that have permeated this realm in our lifetimes, plural, that have touched so many, that have contributed and posited the benevolence of God, the benevolence of the celestial kingdom, bringing heaven upon earth. And so, whether it be through martyrdom or the miracles and the mysticism, the stigmata, there's so many, like I can say, Saint Padre Pio, phenomenal. So many. And so many of them that we're aware of had their own mystical gifts, such as by location. Padre Pio was one of those as well. And it's just interesting to note the telepathy, the psychic gifts that are seen as prophet-like, right? And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom with discernment. And if we look upon the choice of humility to be humble, like Saint Francis of Assisi was born, from what we know, a very wealthy son of a wealthy merchant. And he gave up all his earthly, tangible riches, his earthly prosperity. He gave that up for God to gain his spiritual prosperity, his heart's prosperity. And in the transference of that, beheld in this most divine ability to go with the grace of God, not have fear. And if you look at even today, like if you look at Alcoholics Anonymous and you look at many of these amazing organizations that have been founded, they're inspired by saints, right? So if you look at, especially with St. Francis of Assisi, the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous had attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. But if you look upon that, you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to give up everything and give up your worldly, tangible riches to seek that, but be inspired by how they live their lives and in the virtue of their application and one kind action, one kind deed, and calling upon them, thinking of them, praying, you can bring their elements into your life. And some may have different belief systems, and I honor everyone's belief systems, but this is a true notion where we celebrate them and we bring that inspiration in. And so inspiration is in all of us, and sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we are very creative beings. Some of you might be authors or painters or poets or musicians or screenwriters or filmmakers or interior architects, exterior architects, interior, exterior designers of all sorts, landscape artists. And you could be so many in the creativity, even if it's a creation in your own way of, I'd like to just be creative. I'd like to be more creative, right? But how do you gain more of that creativity when you're in a lull? Well, this is when you go within and you brainstorm. You look within. You see past your subconscious, the self-limiting beliefs, and you go outside of yourself and you externalize what you broadcast outwardly and what's been serving you, what's not serving you. This is where you brainstorm and you get past through those fears. And so, one thing with looking upon the saints is transcending fear. If you look at so many, especially let's say San Francis of Assisi, the fearlessness, the all-knowing faith, that devotion of the self, because we're all filled with fear, which is understandable. This is a fearful place at times. But what can we control about it? But when we're in the sanctity of our soul, sanctity of our mind, the sanctity of our heart, and we allow the Trinity to come inward, how do we develop more of that reunification, that inner strength, fortifying that strength, and gaining more of an intrepidness and more of that gusto, right? To see through that, wow, that's a temporary situation. I can transcend that and I'll put on the armor of God, right? I will carry my sword and shield, metaphorically, spiritually, right? But transcending negativity at times is very scary because in our survival mechanism, we are still here today because we survived because we have fear, right? And our amygdala, our fear center, can rule us, our nervous system, but it keeps us alive. But what I'm speaking of is in that spiritual dynamic of transcending the fear. And if you look at how it's synonymous with the teachings of Jesus, and if you look at Buddhism, the detachment, right? If we detach, then there's nothing to fear. If we detach from attachment, where we can let go, let loose, right? So when we transcend that fear. We give it to God. We let loose. We surrender it to God. We hand over the fear to God. And this is in that intrinsic nature of becoming more brave, becoming more confident, becoming more bold. Like, there are many that are fearful because they have a terminal illness right now. There are many that are in their final moments, and the preparation for leaving this planet can be very fearful. And then you have fears of other things, fears of failing your family, fears of failing yourself, fears of finance, fears of health, fears of romance and love, fears of being alone, fearful for your children, fearful for a nation, the world. So the fear is there as a necessary instinct for our survival, yet placing that in the logistical sense of looking at it as a physiological response. But if we look deeper into the notion of fear, false evidence appearing real, and we gain and we listen to that still small voice within, and we really work on it, we really work on becoming more confident in whatever faith it is that you have. And if you are atheist or agnostic and you don't have faith in anything, find faith in yourself. Believe in yourself. Believe in your abilities. Believe in your pursuits of success. Believe that, yes, I am a great person. I want to be even a better person. I want to do good things in the world. And sometimes the fear of failure gets in the way. So look at all the limitless possibilities. That's another inspiration from the saints. The limitless possibilities that are, if we are limitless, meaning that there are no limitations, no binding structures that prevent us from permeating through the ebb and flow and going on a steadfast approach to attain a goal for the world, a goal for your village, your community, right? A village for your school, or a goal where sometimes it takes a village, right, to help a school of people, right? Sometimes it takes a village to help ourselves. But if we delve deeper into, I want to do something. I want to do something great. I want to start here. And when you start here, you have a plan. Sometimes what comes up, well, let's say often, not sometimes, but oftentimes what comes up? Fear. Oh, I'm afraid I'll be judged. I'm afraid I won't get enough funding to do this. I'm afraid people will chastise me. I'm afraid people will say, oh, there's so many of you already doing the same thing. What makes yours different, right? You guys have all heard that. Or I'm afraid of, what if I can't get the right people? What if I can't do and finish and execute this? What if I can't be decisive? Well, you're certainly decisive about the fear, right? But if we can look past that and say, you know what, I'm going to park my fear, false evidence appearing real. I'm going to park that just for a moment. And I'm going to visualize, I'm going to go within, I'm going to be inspired by a saint. I'm going to be inspired by multitude of saints, or even someone that you know, that you consider to be such a benevolent human being on earth, who you might think is saint-like in a way. And remember, you don't have to be perfect. When I speak of this, I mean in the sense of inspiration during this collective time, where the energies are just magnanimous. So if we go into the frequency of ourself and we say, I'm parking the fear, and what would it be like if I could just bestow this inner confidence with a healthy, balanced ego? The healthy balanced ego, one may say, well, how do you attain that? We're all fluctuating in a negative fear-based separative ego, or we worry that we'll get too inflated. If we get a win, we'll think, oh, and then we get knocked down, and I never want that to happen again. Hence, that's an example. So some of the fear could be that you soared too close to the sun, that you got what you asked for, you got what you prayed for, what you affirmed for, what you manifested, but then you got too close to the sun and you blazed out and you got knocked down, you flew too high, right? That's often the case as well. And those of you that have never had that experience, it's a real thing. And sometimes there's this preparedness within the self that says, I've seen my colleague, I've seen my friend, I've seen that person that I think of like a saint or that person that inspires me, and they got knocked down, but I'm going to learn from that. They learned from that. But the other notion is that, wow, I saw my buddy go through hell and back and hell and back, and I think I'm just going to stick to myself. I think I'm just going to stay quiet, stay below the radar. I'm going to just let my light be diminished. And at the end of the day, it's about being afraid of shining your perfect light, shining the light that God gave you. The kingdom of heaven is divinely inherently within you as your divine rightful inheritance, or in the seat of your soul. You've come here for specific purposes, not to just be in a physical vessel, but to do something that is purposeful for yourself. And what's purposeful for you might not be exactly the same journey as someone else's purpose. We all have our lineage, our karmic lineage. We all have things that we've done countless times in other lifetimes. We've been there, we've done that. But this particular life, what is it that is calling you for you? Or if it's a repetition of the previous life for certain reasons, your soul contract, you ultimately chose in agreement with God and your soul that you will come back, or that you're here and everything around you is in a certain order. That's what some believe, right? You might believe differently, but regardless, and what's congruent is that in the congruency of the purpose, we all seek a purpose. We all seek a purpose, regardless if we believe we lived before, or if we believe this is our only life, or that we're here by accident, right? However you believe, the one main congruency across all, a common denominator, is that we do seek purpose. And when our purpose has been slighted, our purpose has been chastised or persecuted, we can go deeper in the persecution. And it's very hard to pick yourself back up. And that compounds another element of fear. And so when you're stuck in that element of fear or hopelessness, fear from persecution, hopelessness that results from the persecution that resulted in more fear compounded, then we suppress. Then we say, what's the point? And some are resilient warriors. They're like tigers. They're like, I'm going to come back. I'm a great, great white shark. I'm going to keep swimming no matter what. And some people are that way, right? And they still have fear, but they've managed that fear and they've parked it. And they're like, you know what? I beat my cancer and I went through a divorce and I lost my business. The medical bills were so high. I went bankrupt, but I survived. And I'm going to start over. I'm going to start anew. And I know that not everyone can have that inner constitution, and not everyone gets to survive in the physicality of an illness. But I'm just giving that as an example, that If we draw from inspiration from someone we know that lives today, we're going into that sanctity of believing in life, celebrating life. And we learn from the fear of death, we learn from the acceptance that death happens, especially during this time when we honor the dead, we honor the saints, we honor our ancestral lineage, right? But we appreciate life even more. And so, going through the strengths of what you behold presently, and just like muscle resistance training, conditioning, whatever it may be that you condition, you go through a state of your own evolution, a state of your own processes in which I would like to be more saint-like for myself or for my family or for my community. If it takes a village, I'll become the village, right? Or I'm not going to let what so-and-so said and the judgment upon my goal or my purpose led life, that I'm going to continue to try to create something great for humanity or for the world. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give myself permission to go about my father's business and prosper with my light, prosper with my heart, prosper with my intellect, prosper with my mind and my ingenuity, prosper with my creativity. And you look upon all the great people that you may deem in your mind, those that you adore, you admire, you respect, you look up to. They've all had a moment where they've fallen. They've all had a moment in which they fell. They, if they didn't fly too close to the sun, they fell due to the transgressions of others and they didn't protect themselves enough, right? Or, I mean, so many reasons. But what got them to get up? If you fall seven times, you get up eight times. If you fall eight times, you get up nine, right? If you fall 100 times, you get up 101 times. And that's what matters, is to stay close to the conviction within yourself, your inner constitution, and have an unwavering faith in yourself, in God, in the universe, in the angelic realm, in your creator, in your belief, right? And so, what we can draw from, especially during this time, is that the perseverance, because we can often get tired in this life, we can get exhausted from all those aforementioned circumstances, right? But as a reminder that we can bring out the best in ourselves by bringing out the best in other people. So if we're looking at the stories of the saints, right? We look at what was demonstrated as the possibilities. And if we're in a place of a downturn in our life, if we're in a shame mentality, if we're in a self-degradation mode, if we're in a painful place, we can look at the light that comes within and we can be reminded that we can too be like a phoenix. And if we look at how the resurrection of Christ and going through hell and coming back, we all here in our own existence have our own resurrection moments. And that's what it symbolizes to us, that we can have our moments in Hades and hell. We can go through, and when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, how do we come back to the light? And so when we seek that light, when we seek that love of self, we seek that purpose, we transcend that pain, that shame, we set aside any and all, as humanly possible, of those negative self-defeating inner dialogue moments that we have, right? The ruminations, the intrusive thoughts. And I speak of conscious reconditioning constantly on the show, but if we go in like, wow, how can I? Sometimes you have to get out of your head. Yes, I know often it's so difficult to get out of your head, but if we get out of our head and we go into a place of, wow, if I can set aside my own self-limiting beliefs, my own limitations, what can I fill my mind with? Self-love, hopefulness, inspiration, and as human by nature, we do get into our tribal mentality of conjoining with others. And sometimes we can commiserate with others. Sometimes we can conjoin in a communal way of someone needs help. I'm going to step up, transcend my own circumstance, get outside my head within reason, of course. And then you fill your mind with God's will of how to go about and do God's work. How can I do humanitarian work? How can I do the work that I just feel called to just because I believe in just being a good person? I don't believe in anything. I just believe in being a good person. I want to do what's right. Fair enough, right? What's right is right, and that's right to do the right thing. But if you go into what's called a holy moment, okay. A holy moment is a place in which you go deep within. So instead of rumination, instead of the intrusive thoughts, the self-deprecation that we all can go through, right? We can go into a holy moment instead. And we can go into that vessel where we go and we look at what we can celebrate about ourselves. And yes, this feels like the gratitude principle of like, what are we grateful for? How is today even possible? I woke up, even if I felt like, oh, I didn't even want to live today. There are those true feelings that happen in this world. Yes. But if we go in the gratitude, okay, I'm working on my gratitude. And sometimes you need more than that. Sometimes you need to do it more. Sometimes it's not that simple for everyone. I get it. But if you consider the holy moment, you open yourself up to God, to the universe, to the Holy Spirit, to the divine, to Buddha, to whatever that works for you, whatever is respective to your belief system. But it can still be a holy moment. You set aside your personal preferences. You set aside your own self-limitations. You set aside your own self-interest in the moment that could be in the perpetual state of, let's say, even self-hatred, right? Sometimes we learn to hate ourselves. Sometimes we learn that it becomes comfortable to just stay down, suppress ourselves, be diminished, right? So if we just go and make this agreement for ourselves to just open ourselves up to God, God is the universe, the angelic realm, the galactic kingdom, Buddha, right? We go within and we begin to create a holy moment. And so you look at how the world needs a collective transformation. The world is always going through a collective transformation. You are part of that collective transformation. I'm part of that collective transformation. We're all part of that collective transformation. So we go into the holy moment and we think of positive things. We look at prayer. We look at affirmation. We look at chanting. We look at positive intentions. We look upon this holy moment to celebrate how in our spiritual life, how in our divinity, what we can do to be prayerful for something outside of ourself, something that needs to be changed, something that perhaps, if we're fearful of a dilemma in the world, we can speak about animals, we can speak about homeless, we can speak about famine, we can speak about the typhoons, hurricanes that devastate. regions of our world. We can speak about war, anything, anything. But if it's a war within the self, due to the externalization of witnessing the wars of the world, this is also especially a most profound time to engage in a holy moment where you collaborate with God, you collaborate with the universe, you collaborate with the divine that aligns with you, and you just speak. It's like a prayer, but it's more so just indeed a holy moment of what does your friend need? What does your neighbor need? What does your elderly friend or elderly neighbor or family member need? What do they need? What do your children need? What is the person that helps everyone else except themselves? What do they need? Right? We all know that altruistic person that's like a saint that we look at, we admire them, we feel inspiration. Well, this could be a good time to insert a holy moment on behalf of that person. You know? And you can even go in within about yourself. What does your inner self need in that holy moment? What does your marriage need? What does your partnership need? Right? What does your family need? And what does the world need? And what does your world need? So if we look upon how God raises us up, where we're collectively having holy moments, especially during this time of All Saints Day, and tomorrow, the Day of the Dead, All Souls Day. We look at the sanctity of our life. We look at the respect of our life and the lives of others. We look at how we celebrate the life that we live today and the life that we seek to live tomorrow, and what we want to create on a soul created path, how we want to enlighten ourselves and enlighten others at the same time. And so, in honor and memory of those that have left this earthly plane that we love and we miss so dearly, it would be a good time, if you don't already, to create an altar, to light candles, to speak of devotionals, speak of them fondly, speak of them with memory, speak of them with that sacredness, lift them up, raise them up. And when you speak of those that have passed away, animals included, there is a resonance field of application in which they can hear us, especially during this time. And so in the virtues of ourself, in the virtues of our family and our lineage, and the virtues of those that have predeceased us, this is a celebration of life, a celebration of the saints, a celebration of our life collectively, and a celebration of our lives to come. And when I speak of learning from the dead, how we can live a better life here in the present, there's much truth in that. So again, this is not intended to be solemnness, but it's celebration. And think of those that you miss so dearly. Talk to them, pray for them, and hold sacred and dear every day of the year. But this time in particular is of most resonance universally, collectively, in the telepathic and psychospiritual notion. And so before we close today's transmission, I wanted to just express to those of you that have lost someone recently and remember them with love and care. Remember them from all their beauty, their light, that what they gave you, what you gave them, And know that you are called to be a saint, one holy moment at a time. And you can have holy moments for those who have predeceased us and those that live in heaven now, animals included. And so let's not forget their existence. Let's just celebrate and honor their sacred time here on earth, no matter how small or how long. All life matters, and we are in gratitude of celebrating those lives that have touched us, that have reminded us and inspired us to live in our most empowered and sacred self. Well, thank you, all of you, for joining me today on the Beyond Earth show. It has been my honor and privilege to be with all of you. And this is your host, Ray Trujillo, and I will be back in 2 weeks' time. Thank you so much, and have a beautiful weekend.